British policymakers closed out the war in 1918 with a rising conviction that the Middle East was where Britain would find its post-war imperial expansion. German East Africa had been captured, Egypt became a formal British protectorate in 1919, and Persia became an informal one, leaving the Holy Land, Palestine, Jordan, and Mesopotamia as the missing link in complete British dominance from Cape Town to Burma. Pushed by Lloyd George, Britain had, by the end of 1918, sent 1,084,000 British and Commonwealth troops into Ottoman territory to control the carving up, and the so-called settlement of 1922 fulfilled British ambition. Nevertheless, by 1922 to 1923, British policymakers knew that the foundations of these ambitions had collapsed. Many troops had been withdrawn in 1919. And then Britain's economy fell into a deep downturn in 1920 and 1921. Mesopotamia, Iraq, was restive. Shrunken budgets forced cutbacks in imperial ambition, and Lloyd George's coalition government was defeated in the 1922 general election. As this took place, Palestine, Jordan, and Iraq became dusty way stations of an empire in decline, not one still cresting toward a greater future. As early as 1919, Britain urged the United States to take up a peacekeeping role in Constantinople and Armenia, but Congress declined. Slippage at home was visible in the inability of British churches to command their former respect and Sunday attendance. The Church of England lost public confidence through its thoughtless wartime flag-waving, and the largely evangelical nonconformists lost ground because their war support— many had been caught up in the drumbeat of moral imperialism by 1914, mocked their earlier peacetime priorities and preoccupation with social progress. Church-going lost its quasi-obligatory status for middle- and upper-class Britons, reducing attendance to only 15 to 20% of the population in the 1940s. How much of this misfortune might repeat in the even more evangelical and morally assured United States during the 21st century can be no more than a matter of speculation. But while the lessons of Rome and Spain are distant and only minimally relevant, that is not true of evangelical Protestant Britain, marching proudly and naively to war under the same hymns still sung at Iowa church suppers. British observers were appalled in March 2003 to find that George W. Bush had been transporting himself back to the Allenby years through his Oswald Chambers readings. In a column for the Times of London, Ben McIntyre regretted that Bush's focus was not the grimly inspired ironies of Siegfried Sassoon and Robert Graves, nor the poignant, painful questioning of Wilfred Owen. Instead, he was absorbed in the 1917 advice of evangelical war chaplain Chambers, whose counsel was to put aside any consideration other than God's will, to surrender your will to Him absolutely and irrevocably, and become more and more a blaze for the glory of God. For Chambers, said the Times, the enemy was evil, religious duty was clear, and Christian soldiers marched onwards in a straight line. Events in the Middle East had been part of Britain's post-World War I debacle. Nearly a century later, the error was about to be blindly repeated by a president of the United States who shared Lloyd George's biblical frame of reference, thought the enemy was evil, and failed to profit from the larger lesson taught by history. Since the collapse of the Soviet Union, America has taken up the war whoops of militant Protestantism, the evangelical Christian missionary hopes and demands, the heady talk about bringing liberty and freedom to new shores, the tingle of the old Christian-Muslim blood feud, the biblical preoccupation with Israel, and the scenarios of the end times and Armageddon. The whole entrapping drama that played in British political theater a century ago. American evangelical, fundamentalist, and Pentecostal churches, in turn, have become the new flag-bearers of crusades against Islam's evil ones. According to national public opinion polls, evangelicals and their leaders far exceed other Americans in their disapproval of Islam. Two-thirds of these leaders consider Islam to be dedicated to world domination and a religion of violence. The anti-Muslim comments of prominent leaders of the Christian right, such as Falwell, Robertson, Franklin Graham, and former Southern Baptist Convention President Jerry Vines confirmed evangelical leader Richard Cizik's contention about antagonism to Islam replacing hatred of the Soviet Union.